Welcome to another episode of The Flawed Show. I'm Rob Steele. That's Jesus Jones in the background. And this is that mid-Monday show that lets you know that it's not just you. The world has actually lost its collective mind. But before we get into more of that wonderful, homegrown, good old American stupidity, I'd like to do a little safety thing first. For a lot of the country, spring break is coming up, which means there's going to be a lot of travel going on, which means there needs to be a little bit of travel tips going on. And I got two. Now, you see, for me, because I live in Augusta, Georgia, and the Masters Golf Tournament was last week was my kid's spring break. So we went to visit the in-laws, because that's what you do for spring break when the kids are small. And we came up with a few things that need to be brought up. Because people obviously don't know. On the interstates, the left lane is for faster traffic. You know those signs that say slower traffic, keep right? If you look at your speedometer and you're not doing the speed limit, those signs are for you. As a specific example, if you were driving a black Infiniti on I-20 this past Thursday outside Atlanta, and you were that dickhead that had no license plates, I would like to tell you that if you're going to be in the left lane, you need to pedal faster, asshole. Doing 45, kinda, barely, on an interstate in the left lane should be illegal, and I wanted to run you the hell over. But I was nice and simply passed you on the right, which, you know, you're not supposed to do. Don't pass people on the right, but there was no more left for me to go to because you were in the f***ing way. My 9-year-old daughter said, "What the hell is that guy doing?" And yes, I'm quoting here. If you're driving slow, get in the right lane. While we're at it, bicycling. Yeah, bicycling is a wonderful thing. I used to do it myself. I'd like to get back into it. It's great exercise. However, do not walk your bicycle slowly across an interstate ramp, because there was a guy in Atlanta who was doing just that while I was trying to turn on to the interstate ramp, and I really wanted to run him over because this was in the way, but I didn't. I was nice. I let him pass. But if you're going to do this, ride the bike at least. Seriously. And now on to your regularly scheduled FWAT programming. As I mentioned, I was out of town for a lot of last week, so I was not near my computer, and I tried my best to ignore the news because I'm on vacation, right? But then I thought, well, I have enough stuff to do a show on Monday. And then I remembered, Donald Trump is president. Of course, I'm going to have plenty to talk about, starting with the questions about Michael Flynn at an executive order signing. I know this happened, you know, a little over a week ago, but I want to bring this up because did anyone tell him? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, let's go to this. El Presidente Trumpo was supposed to sign an executive order. And as he walked into the Oval Office, he was greeted by several members of the press who were there covering it. And one of them asked him a lot of questions about Michael Flynn and whether the Justice Department was going to grant immunity to Michael Flynn for turning the tables on Trump and revealing the whole Russia thing. Trump got so flustered that he walked out without signing the executive order. And I kept thinking to myself as I was watching this, dude, you kind of forgot something. I mean, I don't want him to sign it. I don't even know which executive order this particularly was. So I was thinking, if this works, perhaps we could sneak a member of the press in to every one of these executive order signings, and then the country might be a little bit better. But then I thought, maybe it'll give him the opportunity to spend more of our money. And I didn't like that. He said something about Syria last week before the airstrike. He said, quote, something should happen. And I thought, that's a little bit vague. But it's better than his other quote last week of, we've had one of the most unsuccessful 13 weeks in the history of presidency. Yeah, that's true. But then something did happen in Syria. Donnie Trump ordered the firing of 59 Tomahawk missiles into Syria this past Thursday and Friday. 59 missiles at a cost of $500,000 per missile. That's $29.5 million worth of missile shot at Syria. Meals on Wheels? No, we can't afford that. But on the bright side, nothing really changed in Syria either. So welcome to week 14 of the least successful presidency in the history of the United States. Now, I found it interesting that there was a tweet that circulated shortly after this that says, and I'll quote here, "The president must get congressional approval before attacking Syria. Big mistake if he does not." And I thought to myself, you know what? He didn't get congressional approval. This guy might have a point. Then I looked at who sent this tweet, and it was some guy named Donald J. Trump, who sent that tweet in 2013. Interesting. Perhaps he doesn't realize that once it's on the net, it stays on the net. It's not like Vegas. More on this story later.
That's a teaser.
And now for a new section of the show that's probably going to be called Who Needs Infrastructure? Did you know that last week Donald Trump eliminated all of the federal funding for Amtrak's national network of trains? This means that 220 cities are going to be losing all of their passenger train service. Isn't that spectacular? In a time when we actually need to start using trains more, because they're more efficient than using cars and trucks to go everywhere, perhaps the train is the answer. It works in Europe. But Donnie, in his infinite wisdom, sorry, putting those together makes me giggle, decided, nah, we don't need trains. Nor do we need much of anything else in the way of infrastructures. Take, for example, I-85 in Atlanta. Some of you may have heard that one of the overpasses on I-85, northbound in Atlanta, collapsed. Just the whole bridge went, nah, I don't want to be suspended anymore. Look, ground. I think I'd like to be friends with that. Kathunk. Now, no one was hurt. Somewhat miraculously, I would think. But there is very little funding to get it done, and it's not expected to be done for quite some time. On the flip side, I had to go through Atlanta last week after this happened, and I would like to point out something really odd. The traffic in Atlanta, which is normally some of the worst in the country, was brilliant because I-85 was closed. So when I-75 merged with I-85, usually in downtown Atlanta, I-85 added nothing. So all of us who were crammed together on I-75 went, are those four more lanes we can use? And we spread out, and traffic was not as congested as it used to be. It was wonderful. But I suspect they're going to fix the bridge anyway instead of finding a way of rerouting the traffic, because that would require planning. And if we don't have money for anything else, other than, let's say, bombing Syria, then I don't think this I-85 issue is going to be fixed. Spectacular. And now for a segment called Guns Don't Kill People, People Kill People, but guns help. Because, you know, if you don't have the gun, you can't shoot people. Yes, I'm actually referring to a 46-year-old man who was a member of the National Rifle Association to the point where he was doing firearms training. And during his class last week in Fairfax, Virginia, he shot himself accidentally. I'm not entirely sure if it was a, all right, whatever you do, don't do this situation, but well done. Here's a story that made very little sense to me because I apparently missed the first half of it. Last week, Secretary of the Treasury, Steve Mnuchin, you need another vowel in there somewhere, Steve, he made a comment to the U.S. Government Ethics Committee, which was, it was not my intention to make a product endorsement. This confused me because I had no idea what he was talking about. Apparently, he made a speech recently where he urged parents to send their kids to go see the Lego Batman movie. Apparently, he said it jokingly in reference to what can our kids do that is available in the public. And, you know, that's what he said. Now, the problem is, he's an executive producer on the Lego Batman movie, which means that that was an endorsement from a government official on something, and you're not supposed to do that. See the Trump family. Now, the problem I have with this story is I didn't hear anything about this first part. There's a lot more being made about the apology than the actual incident itself. But isn't all this publicity for the Lego Batman movie exactly the same thing that he was made to apologize for? Oops. Some of you may have heard about a stolen beer truck being used in a terrorist attack in Stockholm. Well, I'd like to point out a few things about this. One, it's a beer truck. I suspect it wasn't really a terrorist attack. It sounds like a redneck event gone wrong, and there's rednecks planet-wide. So I suspect there was a conversation that went like this. I'm thinking about doing something stupid, so I would say hold my beer, but I don't have one yet. Hey, look, it's a big beer truck.
You know how to drive one of them big trucks there, Bubba?
Not yet. Let's give it a try. And so, of course, the beer truck was stolen and run into people, because those are not easy vehicles to drive. Now, was it a terrorist attack? My guess would be no. Was terror involved? Yes, because terror means extreme fear. So yes, there was terror involved. I suspect the driver was terrified as well. So what we really need to do is stop saying everything is terrorist. A guy driving a stolen beer truck, even if he does plow through people, is not really a terrorist thing. A terrorist attack is something like dropping 59 missiles on an airbase with no hope of destroying the airbase, but doing it just to screw with the locals, maybe killing a few. That would be a terrorist... I think we did that last week. Here's a story that makes very little sense. It comes from the Trinity Lutheran School in Racine, Wisconsin, where a 12-year-old female student was accused of peddling sex toys. However, it's not a sex toy. It's called a water snake wiggly. It's one of those long balloon things that's filled with water, and it wiggles. That's it. That's all it is. It turns out she was actually trying to sell these at a small markup margin from what she bought them for so she could donate the money to children with autism. See, that's a good cause. She's not selling sex toys to middle school kids. That's just wrong on a number of levels. And you may not know it by name. I didn't know it by name until I saw this article and I said, oh, that's what those are called. And if you haven't figured it out, look up Water Snake Wiggly. It's not going to take you to a sex toy site, except it might. You see, these Water Snake Wigglies, okay, they are phallic-shaped, but then again, so are pencils. And could this be used as a sex toy? Well, it would need a considerable amount of Viagra for it to actually work that way. They're mostly limp. But I suppose if you want to say it looks like it could be a sex toy, although... If you look up Water Snake Wigglies on Amazon, you know how they have that section that says sponsored products related to this item include and show you other things that are similar? One of the things that came up is a breast stress reliever ball. You know those squishy balls that you use to relieve stress? This one has a nipple on it, so that might be a sex toy. Amazon, selling fake boobs. Just don't implant them. Ooh. This just in, a tweet from Sean Hannity of Fox News. Glad our arrogant president is enjoying his taxpayer-funded golf outing after announcing the U.S. should take military action against Syria. Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on a minute. This tweet is from 2013. I'm sorry. I knew he couldn't have been talking about the current administration. That might be something a real journalist might do. In a bizarre twist, Representative Jody Arrington of Texas, here's a shock, he's a Republican, has decided that he's going to use a Bible verse as a reason to cut access to food stamps. The Bible passage is Thessalonians 3:10, which says, "If a man will not work, he shall not eat." Well, you know, sometimes people get unemployed, like I suspect he might after the next election. And that's why people use food stamps, because no one will hire them, therefore they can't get money, therefore you go on food stamps. So basically what he's doing is using a Christian verse to do a very non-Christian thing. Would Jesus do this? My guess would be no. Just so you know, because you might not. You remember that thing I mentioned in last week's show about how internet service providers are now able to legally sell all of your browsing history to whoever the hell they want to? Well, before that went through, one of the people who really wanted it to be pushed through was a guy named Marco
Rubio.
Yeah. Do you know what he did? He accepted $75,000 in political donations from internet service providers like Comcast and Time Warner Cable. Does that not sound like somebody's votes got bought? And does that sound like a legal thing to do? One of the big and really bizarre stories I heard from last week involved Pepsi, who frankly I don't think much about. I don't think about sodas very often, but there was a commercial where Kendall Jenner, who I'm still trying to figure out why she's popular, but that's okay, handed a police officer a Pepsi to defuse a potential dangerous situation at a not real protest. Now, millions of horrible things were said, including a complaint from Martin Luther King Jr.'s daughter, who says that a Pepsi would not have defused the situation back in the day when her father was fighting for civil rights. I'm afraid I'm going to have to agree with her on this, although, I am going to say this. I am going to reserve the right to laugh my ass off if there is a story that comes out about a protest that turned ugly but got defused because someone handed a cop a Pepsi. I'm not saying it's going to work, but hell, you never know. Give it a shot. I'm going to leave you with this week. The results of the airstrike that Trump launched against Syria. Now, Trump's attack destroyed at least 9 and possibly as many as 15 fighter jets. Yay. The average airbase has about 80. So that's not the best percentage. 7 soldiers, including a brigadier general, were killed during the assault. Sounds very low, but okay. 9 civilians were killed. That's not good, including 4 children. Okay, that's really not good. But let's think about this for just a minute. Let's just go with a maximum 15 fighter jets, 7 soldiers, and 9 civilians. You used 59 missiles to kill that little? That sounds like remarkable ineptitude. And before you say, but Rob, why are you blaming Donald Trump? He just said to shoot the missiles. Well, that's because Donald said specifically, shoot right here. That was in his order. Not the runway. Don't shoot the runway. Shoot these buildings that apparently very few people are in. Now, I did mention that he didn't tell Congress about this, but Russia was told. Can I bomb Syria? He asked Vladimir Putin through channels. Russia was told 4 hours before the attack, and the airbase was back in use less than 12 hours later. Now, I'm averaging the reports about the usage of the airport, because some said 6 hours, some said 18. You know what? You take them all, you average it, you get 12. You get the point. Now, Donald said through a tweet, because having a press conference would be a manly thing to do, and this is Donald Trump, he said, the reason you don't generally hit runways is that they are easy and inexpensive to quickly fix. No. No, they're not. Have you ever seen them fix an airport? It takes forever. CI-85. Incidentally, just thought you'd like to know that the company that makes those missiles, the one that's going to get another $29.5 million to replace the missiles that were shot, yeah, it's partially owned by some guy named, I've got the name here, yes, here it is. The company is owned by some guy named Donald J. Trump. So he just put another $29.5 million of our money in his pocket. You know what? At this point, can we just reboot the entire government? Do you think that'd be a good idea? Or a bad idea? Or some idea? Or do you even have a comment about the show? Contact me through, let's say, email, rob@thefwatshow.com. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. If you want to make that easy, go to the website, thefwatshow.com. There's buttons for all three of those. I try to make it easy on you, unlike our government, which is trying to make it a pain in the ass for everyone. While you're on the website, don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes or through the Google Play Store or even the Happy Hour Network. Why not? And don't forget to check out the show on YouTube through the YouTube channel of the Coil Entertainment Network. and the new web address to get there, coil.us, coil.us. How hard is that? And I would also love to thank Jesus Jones, who is doing a spectacular job in the background. Yeah, they're not here. It's a pre-recorded thing. But keep an eye out for the new album coming out in June. So until next week, everybody, be careful out there. Everyone seems to have gotten stupid.